There is such a thing as the Bar Church that has been established in Abilene, Texas, or at least it's going to be. It's going to start next Sunday, and you might find that somewhat interesting. It is a work of the Southern Hills Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas, and a very unusual work that they've engaged in, and I believe one that's not even scriptural, doesn't need to be practiced the way they're doing it. So take a look at that, and maybe that'll be of interest to you. As I have given order unto the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. That is one of the familiar texts to which we turn when we are studying the subject of giving, isn't it? For there we learn that it is upon the first day of the week that we have been prescribed to lay aside of our means and give to the Almighty God. That is the passage that authorizes that. Another text that we might use is 2 Corinthians 9:7. For this particular text teaches us to purpose in our hearts what we are going to give, and then prescribes unto us the manner in which we are to give that money. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Oftentimes we study various examples of individuals who were givers. My friends, the most dominant giver in all of God's word is God himself, isn't he? For God so loved the world that he gave, the Bible says, John 3:16. We could turn to Mark the 12th chapter, verses 41 through 44, and we could study the example of that little widow lady who cast into the treasury more than all that cast in, even though she only gave 2 mites. We might also study the example of the Macedonians recorded for us in 2 Corinthians 8:1-5. Here were individuals who were in poverty, individuals who were in great trial of affliction, and yet the gift that they bestowed upon the Apostle Paul to take to the saints in Judea was beyond astounding. In fact, he tried to give some back, and they refused to do that. Wonderful examples of givers. But how often do we study the subject of giving from the standpoint of what Jesus has to say about giving? What's interesting is Jesus says a lot about this particular subject in God's Word. You would think that if we're going to study what Jesus says about giving, that we would begin in the Gospels, wouldn't you? But we're not. We're going to begin in a passage, Acts 20:35, and the Apostle Paul is the one who is talking. And he is speaking to the elders of Ephesus. Listen to what he says. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. Now listen to this. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You can scour the entire gospel narratives, and you will never one time find a passage wherein Jesus makes that statement recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And yet, here the Apostle Paul is, and he says it is Jesus who said this. Somewhere in the revelation given to the Apostle Paul, it was told him that Jesus Christ himself made this statement. It is more blessed to give than to receive. In the process of benevolence, there are two participants, aren't they? There are the givers and they are the receivers. I don't know about you, but sometimes I kind of enjoy being the receiver. Don't you? I love it when somebody gives me an expensive gift. You could purchase me a Mercedes today, put it out here tonight, I'd be tickled pink. You wouldn't hear any gripes from me at all. None. someone buys us something that is unusual, something that you could not get just right here in the United States, that is a wonderful gift, isn't it? And we are well pleased with that. Oftentimes, we send out lists to individuals who are going to buy things for us like during Christmas, don't we? And the reason we give those lists is because those gifts that we receive are needful unto us. I never put anything on there that I don't need. And folks, those kind of gifts are just gifts that we rejoice in. But notice what the Lord Jesus says. He says, it is not more blessed to receive than give. He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That little word blessed is an interesting word. It means super abundantly blessed. To be well off. To be fortunate. Now notice that Jesus doesn't say that the giver is blessed. He says what? It is more blessed to give. He attaches an adverb onto that particular term and he stretches the meaning of that word. Here's what he means. It is by far better to give than to receive. He says it is much, 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 much better to give than to receive. He says that to a greater extent than you could possibly imagine, it is greater to give than to receive. I wish I had the ability to instill in every member's minds this particular text. And for you to not only understand it, but also to fully be willing to put it into practice. I believe that this passage is the fundamental passage with regard to giving, folks. If I really understood that it is better to give than to receive, guess what I will become? I will become an abundant giver. A blessing has been attached to it by our Lord Jesus, hasn't he? First passage. Let's look at a second passage. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, and see what Jesus says. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Who is Jesus talking to in the text? He's talking to his apostles, isn't he? My friends, he has just chosen the 12. Notice chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his disciples, he gave them power against who? Evil spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And he tells them, look, I want you to go forth. And I want you to take what you've given and I want you to freely distribute that to other individuals. But why? He says, because you have freely received. Now, oftentimes when we use that little word free, what we think of is this. Didn't cost anything. Isn't that right? Something's free, it doesn't cost anything. If we tell you we're going to give you something free, you can have a line of people, can't you? Depending on what it is, especially. Jesus told these individuals, you have received this power freely, but it does not mean it didn't cost anything. The definition of the word free in this text is this: undeservedly. Undeservedly, you have received. Folks, these 12 men did not deserve the position of an apostle. These 12 men did not deserve this power that they were being given by God. But they had still received it, hadn't they? And Jesus says this, because you don't deserve it, here's what you need to do. You need to go out and distribute it and give it freely to as many in Israel as you possibly can. Now I realize that you and I do not live in the days of miracles, do we? I'm not able to perform miracles. You're not able to perform a miracle. If you can, I want to see you. I've got a whole graveyard of folks that like to come up. We're not able to do that today. Folks, that power is no longer available. But here's my question. Have you freely received from God? And by that I don't mean it didn't cost you anything. Because the moment that I start that process, you'll say, well, I bought my car. I bought my house. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the definition as it is used in Matthew 10, verse 8. Undeservedly, you have received. You know, Kathleen and I drive to the building separately. I get here pretty early. She says she ain't going that early. But in just a few minutes, I'm going to walk out of that parking lot, and guess what I'm going to see? I'm going to see two vehicles. Two. Not one. Two. That I own. Sometimes we're going to take those vehicles and we drive down to a restaurant. And within a matter of moments, they put a huge plate of food out before me. And I gobble that stuff down and I reach into my wallet and guess what? I've got plenty of money to be able to pay for all of that food. We drive home, we walk into a house. Most of you own your own home, don't you? And that little plot of land there. And sometimes we think, well, that's really not that much, folks. I don't know about you. $200,000-$300,000 is a lot of money to most people. It's a pretty big amount, isn't it? I realize you've worked and you've labored and you've scraped and you've toiled for years to own that. But still, it is a wonderful blessing, is it not? You open up that house and guess what? You don't have dirt floors. Wooden floors, carpeted floors, nice floors to walk on. And guess what? That house is filled with all kinds of stuff, isn't it? And it's wonderful stuff. Stuff, again, that you've worked and labored hard for. But it's filled with beautiful things that facilitate your way of life. And guess what you do when you go home? Nobody's going to stay in a coat and tie, are they? You run into your closet and guess what? We got walk-in closets now, don't we? Don't just have them little closets like we used to, 3 feet deep. Got to have a big old walk-in. And now we men have to have our own walk-in. We're as bad as women. Ain't that right? You buy a house that has one walk-in closet, one wants 3/4 of it. And you get mad because you know you need a whole walk-in closet. That's the truth. Because we have tons of clothes, don't we? We're not going to just change into one set of clothes. We got a clothes for this afternoon. We've got clothes for tonight because we may not wear a suit and tie again. We got clothes for tomorrow at work. Folks, we got tons of clothes, don't we? And by the time you've done all that, driven home, changed your clothes, you're hungry again. So you go to the cupboard, you open the cupboard, and guess what? There is a choke load of food there, isn't there? And you sit down, and guess what you turn on? You turn on one of the niceties of life, don't you? Cable TV. Or satellite TV. Or some form of television. Folks, we are undeservedly blessed by God, aren't we? It just blows my mind to think of the things that I possess and the things that are mine. And I don't deserve all that I have at this present time. And guess where it all came from? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. Now I want you to think about what Jesus says. Undeservedly ye have been given. Now what's the requirement? Freely give. Freely give. Folks, it should be no problem placing money in that collection plate on Sundays based upon what God has undeservedly given unto us. Third passage, Matthew 10, verse 42. Matthew 10, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink of one of these little ones a cup of cold water in my name, he shall in no wise verily lose his reward. I love this text. Because there's two powerful lessons that Jesus gives us about giving in that one verse. The first lesson is this. If there is a little need, and I give just a little, God recognizes it. Here's some little ones, Jesus says. And guess what they need? They just need a drink of cold water. Just a drink. Folks, that's not much, is it? Not much at all. And he says, if you give that, guess what? I see that. I recognize that. That person shall in no wise verily lose his reward. Why? Because God has seen it. Folks, our gifts to individuals do not necessarily have to be great. Did you know that? They do not have to be large. All they have to do is meet a need. And if they meet a need, then God sees it and God recognizes it. It may be that I contribute $1, just $1, but God sees it. I may go down to the store and I might buy one can of food and give that, but it met a need. One little box of cereal, and yet it met a need. Folks, our gifts don't have to be large for God to place value on those gifts. So there's the first lesson. But notice the second lesson. Our giving is directly tied to our reward, isn't it? If you see a need and you give to that need in the name of a disciple, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. I just find that last statement kind of interesting because we have some denominational friends of ours who teach us that it is impossible for a person to lose his reward. Isn't that what they tell us? The doctrine of once saved, always saved, the perseverance of the saints. Once you've been saved, you can never lose your salvation. And yet, Jesus says that a person could lose his salvation. But folks, if you and I become conscious of our giving, and if you and I become liberal givers, and if you and I will look even to the smallest of needs and contribute to those, Jesus says, ye shall in no wise lose your reward. When you don't contribute, my friends, you're standing on shaky ground when it comes to judgment day. Did you know that? Shaky ground. We have a lady here in this congregation. She's not been able to attend in quite some time. And guess what she does every month? She mails in her check every month. We've got several who do that. You know that? You shall in what? No wise lose your reward. Here's people who are conscious still of the need to what? The need to give. Even if it's just a little bit, folks, be conscious of that. Because it is directly tied to what? It is tied to my reward. Fourth verse. Matthew 19, verse 21. We're all familiar with the story, but here's the verse that we're going to talk about. Then Jesus saith unto him, go, and sell that thou hast. Really, it starts with these words. Listen. If thou wilt be perfect. Hear that? Go and sell that thou hast. And give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. A man comes to Jesus. He wonders what he needs to do in order to have eternal salvation. Jesus tells him all the different commandments and the ones that Jesus listed. The man said, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? He lacked one thing, didn't he? And this is what he lacked right here. If thou will be perfect, if you'll be complete, if you'll be mature, if you'll be full grown, here's what you've got to do. You've got to go and sell what? All that thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. My friends, this man's wealth, this man's treasure, was standing between him and his God. And Jesus knew that, didn't he? One of the gospel writers says that when Jesus looked at this man, he loved him. But yet he saw a man who had something standing in between him and God. And the man wanted to go to heaven, desperately wanted to go to heaven, or at least he acted like he did. What's keeping me from eternal life? Jesus said, it's your riches, it's your wealth. Go, sell it all, and do what? Give to the poor. Folks, there are some individuals, even within the body of Christ, who need to part with all their wealth. We have too much. We're too blessed, we're too privileged. We think that we've got it all under control. And so oftentimes in that particular condition, we leave God out of our lives. That was what was happening to this man. And Jesus tells him to do what? Go and sell it all. Now folks, I'm not asking you to do that. It's only when our wealth and only when our riches are standing between us and God that this is necessary. But here's my question to you. And I really want you to think about it. If you were asked to do that, could you? That's the question. Because you see, that shows you where your heart is, doesn't it? Sell my house, sell my car, delete my bank accounts, sell all my furniture, everything that I have, sell it all and give to the poor. Could I do that? Wow. Puts a different perspective on me and my wealth, doesn't it? Folks, don't let your riches come between you and your God. Next passage, Luke 6, verse 38. Jesus begins this particular verse with one simple word, and it is an imperative. It is a command. And listen to the word, give. How'd you like to have been listening to Jesus that day? Man, he's pretty bold, ain't he? He just starts off giving. That's what he says, give. But then listen to the rest of the verse. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosoms. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Let's assume for a moment that you had come to my place of business and you were in need of a big bag of wheat and you had a 50-pound bag. I said, "Ooh, you need a lot of wheat." I said, "I got a big family." I say, fine, I bring you over, and I start filling that bag with wheat. And I get about 6 inches filled, and I get a big press, and I put down in there, and I just start pressing that stuff down, and it goes down 2 inches. There's only 4 inches filled now. I put another 6 inches in there, and I press it down again. Every time I put in six, I beat down two of them. That old bag's getting pretty tight, isn't it? Now, folks, there's a bag that's been given good measure, and it's been pressed down, hasn't it? I get to the top about 3 or 4 inches, and I grab that old bag, and boy, I just start shaking it like crazy, trying to get it down as far as it can be, and I pack that stuff down again. And I go over and I fill it, and it just pours till it overflows on the floor. You go to take that bag, and you're not going to take what's all around on the ground. I say, whoa, wait a minute. You've left some wheat here. That's not mine. It ran out of the bag. Oh, yes, that's yours too. What would you think of me? You'd buy wheat from me every week, wouldn't you? Go down to that old boy. He'll fill your bag full. Folks, in our giving, there is a reciprocal action that God promises that will take place. Give, there's the action, isn't it, on our parts, and it shall be given unto you. There's the reciprocal action. Now, there's two points that we need to understand. First of all, this does not need to be your reason for giving. You turn on the television today, you hear all these televangelists. This is one of their key texts, is it not? Give, and it shall be given unto you. You send me 1,000, and you'll get 10. And poor little widows, they write those checks, don't they? Send them in. Those poor people, barely surviving, write those checks and send them in. And 6 months from now, guess what, folks? Their economic condition has not changed one iota. And a man on the TV is still screaming, "Send me your money!" All it is a ploy to get rich, isn't it? It's all it is. Folks, the blessings that might come from our giving are not promised to be material in nature, are they? Those blessings may be spiritual in nature. Those blessings may be in the form of individuals. Those blessings may be what we receive when we die and part this world into eternal realms. But I want you to understand something. That when you give, God promises to give in return. And you and I don't need to doubt that one iota. And yes, sometimes it is physical, isn't it? I know there's been times in my life that I've given, and guess what? I've received. And I've received abundantly in that. You give now, and you get to a condition in your life where you can't make it, where you're struggling, where you can't survive. And guess what? All of a sudden, somebody comes along and gives to you. And you're just astounded, aren't you? At the generosity. You didn't even ask for it. And yet it came. That's the promise of God. If we want. If we give. Luke 18 verse 12. Jesus is teaching a parable. And in that parable, there's a man who talks about his giving. And this is what he says. I have paid tithes of all that I possess. Folks, this story is the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, isn't it? And here this old Pharisee is praying unto God. And that's what he tells God. God, look at me. I've paid tithes of everything that I possess. Can you imagine being God and hearing that? First thing, God already knows that, doesn't he? That man didn't have to remind God about how much he'd already given him. And the reality is this. God didn't care with regard to this man, did he? He could have cared less. He could have given him everything, and God wouldn't have cared. And a third thing is this, folks. God does not need my money, does he? God is God. He owns it all. He doesn't need what I give to him. And I don't have to boast and brag and be arrogant about all my giving. And there's the lesson, isn't it? Folks, when you give, you do that in secret. Isn't that what Jesus taught? Matthew 6, verses 3 and 4. And when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, but doeth thine alms in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly, the Bible says. You don't need to know how much I give, and I don't need to know how much you give. That's a pretty spiritual matter as far as God is concerned, a pretty private matter. Now, folks, that's not to say that there's not some individuals who might need to know how much you give. Did you know that? The elders of this congregation might need to know. Because if you are a covetous person and you are not giving as you ought, and your soul is going to be lost in the last day because of that, our elders might need to know that. And may need to come speak to you about that, because they are concerned and watching for your souls, aren't they? But as far as a public matter, we don't need to display everything that we give. And I sure don't need to tell everybody about how much I give. If I give $1 million, who cares? You don't care, and I shouldn't care, because I haven't given it for that reason, have I? You see, attitude in giving means everything. Everything. Folks, we've looked at 6 passages this morning that instruct us relative to our giving. Our Lord didn't neglect the subject. He taught about it often. In fact, money was a big matter that He talked about. And I just find it interesting that He Himself not only taught about it, but practiced it, didn't He? There are 4 times in Scripture that the Bible says this: Jesus gave Himself. There's nothing more you can give than yourself, folks. One of those is found in Galatians 1 verse 4. Who gave Himself for us, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and His Father. Galatians 2 verse 20. Paul speaks of it again, doesn't he? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Folks, Jesus not only talked about giving, He practiced it. And Jesus gave all. Question: what have you really given to Jesus? Can you honestly look at your spiritual life and then look Jesus in the eye and say, Lord, I've given all? Can you say that? A while ago we talked about the fact that when we give, we receive, right? Based upon what you've given to the Lord Jesus, if He were to turn around and give and reciprocate that to you, how much would it really be? Kind of a sobering question, isn't it? My friends, our Lord wants our all. People get mad at me sometimes for preaching on giving as a preacher. Yeah, preacher down there, he just wants a raise or something. Folks, your giving has nothing to do with my paycheck. You know that? It really doesn't. Well, it could affect it some way, but it's really not tied to that. My giving is solely to who? Solely to God. We need to step back sometime and take notice of what Jesus has said. You want to know what He really wants? He don't want your wallet. He wants your heart. He wants your all, doesn't He? And when you give Him that, it's not hard to give the rest. Are you a member of the body of Christ? We want you to be this morning. What's holding you back? Jesus gave all. And all He asks for you to do is to believe in Him as the Son of God. Repent of sins. Confess His precious name and submit to the waters of baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Paul was in a very penitent condition, wasn't he? Ananias saw that, and here's the question that he asked. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Acts 22:16. Paul was, what are you waiting on? Dear Christian, have you really given all? Have you really given all? Maybe we need to repent of sins. Maybe we need to ask God to forgive us. Maybe we need to give ourselves back to God. Won't you do that this morning as together we stand and sing?